Good evening, brethren. Before we get into the Vespers, I'd like to bring the love and greetings from your brethren in the Albuquerque Bible Students Teleconference Ecclesia. Several are here, and others, I'm sure, are joining online. They send their love and greetings and invite you to attend the Albuquerque Convention. There's programs on the table, and if you run out, Sister Sandy has a bunch. So see either one of us for the programs. I bring some love and greetings. The Allisons are here, Ralph and Vicki, but Ralph's brother Kenny was planning to come and, in fact, participate in the service tonight. But Thursday night he called and said that his son's vehicle broke down, and Ken didn't want to leave him stranded in the Cortez, Colorado area. So Brother Ken called, and he's very disappointed that he couldn't be here. He was much looking forward to it. And as we were traveling last night on Interstate 40 on our way to Flagstaff, my cell phone rang, and it was Hunter Tishmack, who some of you know. He's currently living with some friends, but we keep in touch, and he knew we were coming here. So he sends his love and greetings. And as you probably know, Brother Tim Krupa was originally scheduled for this Vesper service. And I'm not sure what was announced this morning. We didn't get here till noon. But I did send Brother Tim Krupa an email a couple of days ago just to find out how he's doing. And he responded, and as some of you may know, Tim and Dawn were in Europe for about 3 months, ending in mid-December, and he came home with a serious cold and a cough, and he told me in his email yesterday that the cough is farther apart. So he's feeling better, but didn't think it would be wise to risk keeping the assignment when he didn't know for sure how he would be feeling this weekend. It sort of reminds me of a Boise convention. I don't know if Judith and Jerry or Lenny or others of you were there 4, 5, 6 years ago. Four of the scheduled speakers canceled, and one on the day of the convention. So, for various reasons. So I know the feeling of scrambling, but as you'll see, this is sort of a group effort and a team project. So I have lots of support. Now, one other thing I want to mention, there's several of the brethren here that either live at the retirement center, Judith and Jerry and Bill and Ellie, half time? And several brethren who attend meetings at the retirement center, three current directors, and I can think of at least three former directors are here. So if you have any questions about the retirement center, pick up our newsletters. There's two newsletters on the table.
It's a wonderful place to live.
I didn't even ask them to say that. The title of my Vesper service is the title on a calendar that Sister Sandy gave me, Walking with the Lord in 2018. So when I chose that chose that theme, I started thinking of hymns that I thought might be appropriate. And there's one hymn that as soon as I mention the first verse, I think you'll know what I'm talking about. But it incorporates the idea of walking with the Lord. And I want to read the first and the fifth verse. When we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. And then the fifth verse, then in fellowship sweet, we will sit at His feet, or we'll walk by His side in the way. What He says, we will do. Where He sends, we will go. Never fear, only trust and obey. At this time, the Phoenix Singers are going to sing the first three verses of Trust and Obey. It's 275A, but Brother Bob will have the words on the screen. And then in verses 4 and 5, I'll ask that you all join in.
Trust and obey, for there's no other
to be happy. Thank you, singers, and thank you, everyone. On December 27, Sister Sandy and Sister Tammy, Brother Dan and Nathaniel and I were on our way to Dinosaur World in Plant City, Florida. We were on our way to Sarasota to see Sandy's aunt and cousins. But my phone rang, and it was Brother Alex. And I was a little surprised out of context to see Brother Alex calling. So he told us that Brother Tim Krupa wouldn't be able to attend and asked Brother Dan and myself if we would fill in for two of the services. So Dan and I had a brief conversation. He was driving, I was in the rear. And so we agreed that I would conduct the Vespers and he would participate in the panel tomorrow. So then my wheels start churning to come up with some ideas. And about the same time, I read the first article in the January-February issue of the Herald. And there's some extra copies on the table later if you haven't seen it. As it turns out, Brother David Rice was the editor of that issue. I didn't realize David and Ruth were going to be here. But the first article written by Brother Keith Kleppen from San Diego. So I communicated with Brother Keith and asked him for permission to extract some excerpts from his article. And in fact, I didn't know if they were planning to be here. But he said, sure, use whatever you want. So the article is entitled Thoughts for the New Year, Resolutions. So I'm reading paragraph, and then we're going to have throughout the program four other readings by different brethren. At the beginning of the year, many within this world will wipe their slate clean and start fresh. They look to the new year with new hopes, new dreams, new aspirations, and a new beginning. They will take the time to scrutinize their lives and look for ways to improve it. They make resolutions to make themselves better persons. And Brother Keith then goes on to say, the eight most popular resolutions are, one, lose weight. Two, quit smoking. Three, learn something new. Four, eat healthier. Five, get out of debt. Six, spend more time with family. Seven, travel to new places. And number eight, be less stressed. So we'll look at four of these resolutions with a view to higher spiritual applications that will benefit our new creature. So our first reading tonight is entitled Things to Lose, and Sister Vicki Allison will read that.
People often resolve to lose weight. Looking at this to apply a comparable spiritual application, we should examine what we as Christians need to lose. As Christians, we have a constant battle going on within ourselves. Paul describes this inner battle in Romans 7. A Other places in the scriptures describe this as a battle with the old man within us, Romans 6:6 and Colossians 3:9. Ephesians 4 gives us a specific instruction concerning this old man. It is part of the corrupt and deceitful lust of our fallen nature. The new man created in righteousness by God is to replace it. The new man is the new creature begotten in us by God's Holy Spirit, 2 Corinthians 5:17. Anyone who thinks that stripping off the old man in Ephesians 4:22 Rotherham is not a problem should take a closer look at their life. One method of doing this is to use a checklist of old man characteristics and search for signs of him, Ephesians 4:25 through 31, Galatians 5:19 through 21. Some of the items that should be on the list are, have we thought of an unkind word? When was the last time anger exposed itself in us? Do we become impatient with others? Do we put our needs before others? Have we ever been rude towards others? Do we subconsciously keep track of the wrongs of others? Does pride ever show in our life? This list can go on and on. The old man is real and tries to stifle our spiritual growth. The old man is clever and deceitful, always justifying his actions. To grow the new creature, the old man must be put aside. If any man is of Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things become new. 2 Corinthians 5:17.
Thank you. That's part of the section on what to lose. I'm not going to read everything in this service, but it'll give you an opportunity to follow up in your own private study and reading. Our second reading is entitled Spiritual Exercise, and Brother Kent Humphreys will read that.
Another resolution commonly made each year is to exercise more. 100 years ago, this was not a resolution most people would need. They exercised their body as part of their regular daily routines. Most jobs consisted of physical labor, Genesis 3:17. We are now living in a marvelous time when knowledge has increased rapidly, and it has decreased the use of our bodies in daily life. But our stress level has skyrocketed, and our physical activity has plummeted. The Lord made our bodies to be physically active. The world of mankind needs bodily exercise, but for the church, the items that must be exercised is faith. From Hebrews 11:6, we know that without faith, it is impossible to please God. Faith is the substance of things hoped for. It is the evidence of things not seen, Hebrews 11:1. Faith is essential in a Christian character. By grace are ye saved through faith, Ephesians 2:8. What does this mean to us? All would agree that our salvation is of divine favor, a gift of God granted by his grace and favor. We cannot do any works that would justify us before God. The law could not provide salvation, nor can we earn it, because we are all imperfect. By faith, we have the merit of Christ's righteousness imputed to us. So is faith all we need and not works? We know that is not true. When Jesus cast out unclean spirits in Mark 1:24, they acknowledged Jesus, but it did not reconcile them to God. We know many things by faith, but we exercise faith by our works. James covers this subject comprehensively in his letter. Faith, if it hath not works, is dead. I will show thee my faith by my works. Thou believest that there is one God, thou doest well. The devils also believe and tremble. But faith without works is dead. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he had offered Isaac, his son, upon the altar? You see then by now that works a man is justified and not by faith alone. James 2:17.
Thank you, Brother Kent. What Brother Kent read, there's one sentence I want to repeat. It says, the world of mankind needs bodily exercise. We happen to have a former personal trainer amidst us, and that's Sister Lena Turner. And Sister Lena is going to tell us briefly some benefits of physical activity.
I had to be looking them up again. No, it's been a while since I was a trainer, but I try to continue practicing what I preached back then. And we all know Proverbs 4:23. In the NIV, it says, above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. So one of the main benefits of regular exercise is strengthening your heart, which is a muscle. It provides the flow of oxygen and nutrients to all parts of your body, including your brain. So exercise is really good for your brain. People who are starting to decline mentally, get more oxygen to your brain. Strengthening your muscles provides you with the strength to do what you want to do every day. Trainers talk about activities of daily living. So again, as we get older, some of those things that we did readily, whether it's carrying groceries in from the car or carrying a load of laundry or being able to stand up and sit down, is important for muscular strength to maintain your independence and activities of daily living. Whatever is healthy for your heart is healthy for your brain, and some of the other benefits of regular exercise are improved sleep, improved mood, reduced stress. All sorts of health conditions are improved by regular exercise. It is as effective in many cases for depression and anxiety as medications are. Lowers your blood pressure, so forth. So if you want to know more, come talk to me.
Okay, thank you, Sister Lena. I've heard comments in the past about 1 Timothy 4:8. The King James says, for bodily exercise profiteth little. So some say, so what's the use if it's only a little effective? But then Brother Lenny and I were talking about that one time, and he said, well, one of the translations is, bodily exercise profiteth for a little time. Well, our body is a machine, and like any machine, it needs to be maintained. And if you don't maintain it, then problems occur. You have breakdown. Now, I want to read you 1 Timothy 4:8-11, and this time using the Phillips translation. And this is what Philip says, 1 Timothy 4:8-11. Bodily fitness has a certain value, but spiritual fitness is essential both for this present life and for the life to come. There is no doubt about this at all, and Christians should remember it. It is because we realize the paramount importance of the spiritual that we labor and struggle. We place our whole confidence in the living God, the Savior of all men, and particularly of those who believe in Him. These convictions should be the basis of your instruction and teaching. Our next reading is going to be by Brother Homer Montague, and he's going to tell us about the history of one of our well-known hymns.
Hymn number 12. All the way my Savior leads me. This great hymn was written by Fanny Crosby, 1820 to 1915. When Fanny was 6 weeks old, she caught a slight cold and had inflamed eyes. The family physician was away. Another country doctor was called in to treat her. He prescribed hot mustard poultices to be applied to her eyes, which destroyed her sight completely. It was later learned that the man was not even qualified to practice medicine. Fanny never felt any resentment against him, but believed it was permitted by the Lord to fulfill his plan for her life. This is what she said to her mother one day. "Mother, if I had a choice, I would still choose to remain blind. For when I die, the first face I will ever see will be the face of my blessed Savior." Fanny's spiritual development came from her grandmother, who cared for her while her mother worked as a maid. A landlady, Mrs. Hawley, helped Fanny memorize the Bible. Often, she learned 5 chapters a week. She entered the New York City Institution for the Blind around 1835, completed training and taught there from 1847 to 1858. In 1858, she married a musician, Alexander Van Alstyne, who was also blind. Under her own name, as well as under a curious assortment of initials and pen names, she wrote over 2,000 hymns, including, "I Am Thine, O Lord, Praise Him, Praise Him, Sweet Hour of Prayer, Blessed Assurance, Safe in the Arms of Jesus, To God Be the Glory, All the Way My Savior Leads Me," was written in 1874. Fanny needed $5 one day, and she just knelt down and told the Lord about it. Soon after, a stranger knocked at her door as he just wanted to meet her. As he left, he pressed a $5 bill into her hand. "I have no way of accounting for this," she said, "except to believe that God put it into the heart of this good man to bring the money. My first thought was that it is so wonderful the way the Lord leads me." And I immediately wrote the poem, "All the Way My Savior Leads Me. What have I to ask beside? Can I doubt His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide? Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith in Him to dwell. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well." I don't know whether Fanny Crosby was a spirit-begotten child of God, but as I reflect upon her life, I can only hope that each of us will be more appreciative of the blessings we have today in Christ and will desire to live a life of praise daily for all our Heavenly Father has done for us. Amen.
Thank you, Brother Homer. If you haven't heard that story before. It brought goosebumps to me when I read it. So now we're going to turn to hymn number 12, or the words on the screen. Can you see the words in the back, Marilyn? Okay. So I'm going to ask all of you to join in as we sing. All the way my Savior leads me, what have I to ask beside? Cast out His tender mercy, who through life has been my guide. Heavenly peace, divinest comfort, here by faith. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. For I know whate'er befall me, Jesus doeth all things well. All the way my Savior leads me, cheers each winding path I tread, gives me grace for every trial, feeds me with the living bread. Though my weary steps may fall, and my soul athirst may be, gushing from before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. Gushing from the rock before me, lo, a spring of joy I see. All the way my Savior leads me, oh, the fullness of His love, rest to me is promised in my Father's house above. When with all those called immortal, I am blessed that glorious day. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. This my song through endless ages, Jesus led me all the way. Our next reading is entitled Prayer, and Elias Condit will make this reading and share the thoughts from Brother Kleppen.
Another resolution that people frequently make at the beginning of the year is to do better at keeping in touch with friends and relatives. To apply this spiritually, we might ask, how are we doing in our communication with our Heavenly Father? We communicate to God through prayer. Prayer is one of the greatest privileges we have in our Christian walk. James 5:16 says, "The fervent prayer of the righteous of a righteous man availeth much." When we see others going through a difficult time, we feel so helpless. There is something we can do for them. Pray for them. Prayer gives us an opportunity to express our thankfulness for all that God has given us, and to ask that He does what is best for them. Prayer is the lifeline that keeps us in constant connection with our Heavenly Father. It is one that we want to constantly use and have as part of our Christian life.
Thank you, Elias. Now Sister Nanette Nakora will share a hymn history from another one of our favorite and well-known hymns. It's not on.
William Walford died in 1850 at age 78. He was a simple wood carver with no education, yet he had a very sharp memory and held the reputation of knowing the Bible from heart, an impression given by the fact that this humble Englishman was able to quote the scriptures accurately, including the precise chapter and verse, in spite of being absolutely blind. Walford relied on others to read the scriptures to him, which he then rehearsed and committed to memory as he whittled away bone to make shoehorns or wood to make trinkets. Walford's mind so dwelt upon scripture, and his communion with the Lord was so sweet, that this humble little man was often asked to share a sermon at the congregational services he attended. The overflow of the Word of God within him also came forth in the form of poetry. One day around 1845, when Pastor Thomas Salmon visited Walford, Walford shared a poem about prayer, which he had perfected unto memory, and he asked Salmon to write it down for him. Salmon, seeing the beauty of the poem, sent it off for publishing as a poem, but it was not until a number of years after Walford's death that the poem was set to music by William Bradbury, at which time the poem then flew around the world upon the wings of its popularity and was translated into several foreign languages. The hymn is Sweet Hour of Prayer, and I can only hope that the words are different than what Fanny Crosby wrote. I'm going to read the third verse of this hymn. Sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall my petition bear to him whose truth and faithfulness engage the waiting soul to bless. And since he bids me seek his face, believe his word, and trust his grace, I'll cast on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer.
Thank you, Sister Nanette. At this time, we're going to sing the hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer, but first I'm going to ask the accompanist to play the first verse, so just listen to the beautiful melody, and then we'll all sing verses 1 and 2. Sweet hour of prayer that calls me from a world and bids me at my Father's throne make all my wants known in sin. and grief, my soul and escape the tempest by thy return, sweet hour of prayer, and escape the tempest by thy return, sweet prayer, sweet hour of prayer, sweet hour of prayer, thy wings shall petition truth and faithfulness in gain away old and since he bid me see his face, believe his word and trust his grace, on him my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour of prayer. I'll cast my every care and wait for thee, sweet hour. Our last reading is entitled Faith Under Trial, and Brother Jim Moss will share that with us.
The last resolution many people strive for in the world is to be less stressed. As Christians, in order to decrease our stress, we must increase our trust in the Lord. Jesus addressed worrying and the brutality of it in Matthew 6, 25 through 34. He ended by telling his disciples, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given unto you." There is no denying that life can be stressful. We cannot always control it, but we can control how it affects us. We believe that all experiences are for our spiritual good, and sometimes it takes difficult experiences to help us develop spiritually. If we have the proper frame of mind, then we will accept all experiences as potentially good for our best spiritual development. That is not always easy to accept because some of our experiences can be painful and difficult. How we deal with these situations begins with our thoughts. Feelings of guilt, despair, bitterness, resentment, hope, kindness, and love all start within us. We can create our own spirit of despair, or we can create a bridge of contentment. This is when we utilize our prayer life to help us through difficult times. The world uses the changing of the year as a time of reflection and a time to consider a change. We as Christians should always be looking back at our actions and thoughts and seek to improve our Christian character that is being modeled within us. To improve our character, we not only need to reflect at the beginning of the year, but also on what we do daily, hourly. Life is precious. Life is a gift. How we use it is entirely in our hands.
Thank you, Brother Jim. Last week, while I was sitting in the lobby of a doctor's office, I picked up a copy of the January issue of a magazine that's designed for healthy living in New Mexico. And I think it applies to all 50 states and worldwide. But one of the articles attracted my attention, and it was an interview with a physician named Harold Koenig. And the title of the article was "Why Science Finds Faith a Healthy Choice." And I want to just share a couple paragraphs from that article. Physician Harold G. Koenig, an international authority on religion, health, and ethical issues in medicine, has dedicated his career to understanding the relationship between faith and health. Koenig, who has surveyed the scientific literature, shares the mounting evidence linking the power of faith to better health and well-being. Dr. Koenig continued, "Science supports firsthand experience that the virtues instilled by a religious path ultimately lead to better decision-making, better relationships, and greater well-being. They help to neutralize negative emotions. These benefits accrue through adulthood and yield fruit into old age. The coping mechanism that spiritual practices provide is also important. It helps us to tolerate and navigate difficult situations and integrate meaning and purpose into daily life." And then he concludes, "I don't think science can prove to us that faith leads to divine healing. But through natural mechanisms alone, ones that we can understand and study, tremendous evidence exists to show that faith benefits health and maybe even longevity." Do we have any centenarians in the room? Virginia. Sister Virginia Sowers? And I won't ask the age of anyone else. For a closing hymn, we're going to sing not from Hymns of Dawn, but a song that all you Willie Nelson and Johnny Cash fans probably recognize, and also one that is sung a lot at our Bible student camps. So Brother Len pulled together a group of young people, and they're going to come and assist Brother Len. And before, while they're doing that, I'm going to ask the accompanist to play the music, or Lenny, to play the music. And I'm going to read the words of this hymn, "Just a Closer Walk with Thee." So Lenny, while you play, I'll read the words, and I'm sure it's familiar to many of you. "I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, keep me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Through this world of toil and snares, If I falter, Lord, who cares? Who with me my burden shares? None but thee, dear Lord, none but thee. When my feeble life is o'er, time for me will be no more. On that bright eternal shore, I will walk, dear Lord, close to thee. Just a closer walk with thee. Grant it, Jesus, if you please. Close to thee. Be, dear Lord, let it be.
A few announcements before Brother Tim closes this service. We have some additional greetings from Brother Jim Muldoon, who comes to our class. Actually, we call him a member of the Phoenix class. Brother Jim went through some very difficult surgery recently, but he sends his greetings to the class. Had a text from Brother Jonathan and Sister Catherine Freer from Sacramento, who wished their love to be sent to the class here. And I think you've heard Brother Ron Chastain, being in the hospital, sends his special greetings here. Brother Kent spoke with him, and he wanted love sent to the class as well. Brother Tim informs me we got a couple of celebrations here. Somebody's birthday today. Whose birthday today? Sister Joan, your birthday today. Okay. Brother Tim didn't ask you how old you were, so I won't either. So Joan Kilgore, happy birthday today. And to my far right, on the very end over here, we've got an anniversary couple. Sister Vicki and Brother Ralph Allison celebrating their 38th anniversary. So we want to sing happy birthday, happy anniversary to them. Okay, we'll do that before we turn it back to Tim. Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy birthday, dear Joan. Happy birthday to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary to you. Happy anniversary, Ralph and Vicki. Happy anniversary to you. Now, may the good Lord bless you. May the good Lord bless you. May the good Lord.